How's everybody? Everybody ready for Christmas? Are you close? Okay. Yeah, I hear you. Some people are like, I don't want to say that I'm not, because the person I'm sitting next to thinks I'm already done. But anyhow, I am excited for this message this morning. This message, I'm going to get right into it. This message is truly is a teaching message. It's an instructional message. It's a message, I like to say, it's a leadership message. And it's not necessarily about leadership from a job description or a job title stance. Because, you know, the lowest level of influence is leading by job title. Okay. So this isn't about job title. But I like to talk about leadership in the way that the Bible talks about it. The Bible says, according to the word, that God has given us dominion. It's given us the ability to lead, but especially lead our own lives. But in order to lead your own life, there's wisdom that needs to be included. But also, you got to learn how to think.
Oh, yeah, you do.
Now, this is meant to encourage you, but it's also meant to challenge you, because we're living in a season that is unlike any other season in the history of time. Fall is here. All of information, all of data will go up 10x in the next 2 years. That means of all the information that exists in the world right now, in 2 years, it will go up 10 times. Now, I would say we're probably more distracted today than we've ever been. We are being bombarded with more useless information, finding new technologies just to provide us with more useless information. We, you know, literally have the inability, it seems, to discern between what's vital and what's trivial. Even as believers, we get family gatherings and we spend more time arguing about politics, getting passionate about things that matter not at all, and nobody's courageous to have the real conversation about the kind of internal dynamics I need to get right. We live in la-la land sometimes. And what I want to talk about today is because the Bible's, it tells us, Christ is very clear with us. The Bible really describes some things to us. But what I want to do is to make sure in 2019, I want you to get your life back. For whoever's in the room right now, overwhelmed, burdened down, mind is cluttered with stuff, with worries here and there and everywhere. Getting ready to, it's Sunday, and we come to Sunday, and we're like, oh, I needed this today. Why? Because I'm already, for what I'm going to have to deal with tomorrow. Okay. But here's what I want you to understand. Okay. What I want you to lock on to today is that this is a contrarian message. I'm not telling you today about increase. How to accumulate more, how to get more. Because if we're really honest, sometimes more is just more. It's just more headaches. My grandma used to say, too much of anything ain't good. Okay? I know there's people who believe I need more time. No, you don't. The more time you get, you just fill it up with more trivial stuff you're dealing with now. I need more room. Some of you thought the house you got in right now was huge. Now it feels too small. Because you found a way to fill it. Space will be filled. It's like a vacuum. And if we're not wise in discerning, we will get overwhelmed with everything that's taken by. Does this make some sense? And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to take it through a quick little scripture, and I give some practical tools that allow us to hopefully leave here and realize that everything we really desire, everything we really want, more importantly, everything we need is already in us. We've got it already. So turn with me to Luke chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 1 through 7. This is about the birth of Jesus. So Luke chapter 2. Verses 1 through 7, scripture says, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. Verse 2. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. Verse 3. And everyone went to his own town to register. Now here's where the story begins. Verse 4. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. Verse 5. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. Verse 6. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Say with me, no room. Okay, one more time. Everybody in the room say, no room. Perfect. Thank you. Thank you. Last service, it felt like I was asking them to do burpees. I didn't ask you to. I'm not asking you to do push-ups. Just say the word no room. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So here's what it is. No room. That is the title of this message. No room. No room for Christ. No room for baby Jesus. So he had to be born in a manger. Now I'm just using my own imagination. Sometimes I have to personalize stuff for it to be real. Can you imagine being the manager? The owner of the inn? Maybe not at the time because you had no clue. But what about 30 years later? When you actually hear about the story of Jesus? When you hear about the people are singing Hosanna about? And they actually tell a story that he was born in a manger because this inn somewhere over there couldn't get in. Being that manager like, oh man, that was me. Now I kind of laugh about it. But I want you to personalize this now. The scripture says that Jesus had to be born in a manger because there was no room. I want you to look at your life right now. The Bible says that our bodies are with this temple of the Holy Spirit, where it lives, okay? But the question is, how much room do you have in your life right now? How much room? Now, this is important. Because all of us, I want more stuff, I want to get this, I need this, I've been asking God for this. But the question is there really room for it? Because, you know, you all have heard this before. Very few of us actually live by this principle. I like to call it the vital few versus the trivial many. It is hard to not only know what's vital, but actually do the things that are vital. Keep the focus on what's vital.
Oh, yeah, that's it,
Eric. We get caught up in trivial stuff that does not matter. And it's so hard. So it's almost like our lives are full of clutter. We're cluttered. And when things are cluttered, I mean, I was doing this recently, and my house... My wife's very well organized, but, you know, I like to call it my version of organization. But the reality is it's all clutter. I can't tell you how many times I have bought the same thing. I can't tell you how many times I bought clothes that look just like some I already had. I can't tell, not only am I wasting money, I wasted the time to go there to get something that I already had. I can't tell you how many wasted resources. Now, here's what's scary. I can waste money. But when you waste time, you don't get time back. This is why, have you ever heard that phrase? You know, I always talk about having more control over our lives, getting our lives back. But in order to get your life back, you really need to get your attention back. Because the word attention, have you ever heard that phrase, paying attention? Because every time you pay attention to something, it costs you something, which is time, and you don't get time back.
Right.
The most valuable asset that you have is your attention. And to give your attention to things that give you no return, oh, how foolish can that be? But as believers, we do it all the time. We allow the vital few to be overwhelmed by the trivial many things. Why? Because we can't distinguish between the two. So I want to personalize this a little bit for you. What matters most? To those of you right here, right now who are married, this is important. What matters most? In your relationship with your wife, in your relationship with your husband, what matters most? It can't be 10 things, because if it's 10 things, you still don't know what matters most. That's like a team saying they got three quarterbacks. If you got three, you ain't got one, right? You can't have three starting quarterbacks. That means somebody ain't that good, right? So when it comes to what matters most, the question is, what matters most? Throw everything out. See, this is when it gets real. See, as believers, we just want to do accumulation. Really, this ain't a year of accumulation. It needs to be a year of elimination. We just want increase, but according to John 3:30, for him to increase, I must decrease. So this is about taking away. Perfection is when there's nothing more to get rid of, not more to add. And we're living clustered, confused, busy lives where there's no room for Christ to do what he wants to do. He says, I come to give you life, and I came to give it to you abundantly. But you're so busy with trivial stuff, you can't even see what matters. But we don't like to slow down enough at times to ask these real questions. What matters most? The Bible says, and I'm guilty of this. I said, my pursuit for business success. There's nothing wrong. God is not against nobody's success, nobody's prosperity, nobody's blessing. But God is against the wrong order. And this is all I know. When the scripture says, what does a man profit? Who gains the whole world but loses his soul. Now let me tell you what's worse than that. I've been guilty of, and I got plenty of men around me who has lost their soul and still didn't gain the world. Even their pursuit of trying to gain the world, they didn't accomplish and still lost everything else. Got the business, but lost my family. Got this, but lost that. More importantly, how much time are you going to lose? In my pursuit to provide for my girls, you're trying to provide something that can be taken away. But what they need most is you, your attention, your investment. Now, I'm bringing this up because this is one of those messages that we need to put up the mirror and get real with. This is what establishes change. If you're not willing to confront what's not right, it can throw us off. So here's one more. I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1. Now, this is important scripture to understand. Now, also in the book of Hebrews, it says the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. So it's meant to cut. This is meant to cut, all right? So Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1. Let me read it real quick. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders. Now, I want to stop right there. Throw off everything that hinders. Let us throw off everything that hinders us, slows us down, gets in the way. Distractions. Now, here's what's powerful about this. First time I read this scripture, and I used to read it all over and over again. I used to say, I need to lay aside everything that that gets in my way, every sin that slows me down. It didn't say that. It said, lay aside everything that hinders and the sin. So that means it's just not sin that can get in the way. And many times we believe that the devil slows our victory and our blessings down because of sin. No, many times it's because of distraction. You're too overwhelmed. You're too busy. You got too much going on. And you're believing and trusting, Lord, if you just give me more time. Lord said, it's not more time that you need. Wow. Now it's time for you to learn how to make your time more impactful. Oh, yeah, that's right. It's not about more time. It's making your time count more. And the way that we begin doing that is laying aside things that don't matter. So what matters most? Using this as an example, family gets together for the holiday. What matters most? We're together. We get to enjoy this experience. No. Arguments start about foolish stuff like why the table's sitting over there and why the chair here and a bunch of nonsense. Forgetting why we're together in the first place. Now everybody just leave mad. not a, ooh, we need to change. No, that's just not understanding what's vital and what's trivial. That's a maturity issue. Some of us right now, even in your attempt to do things from a ministry perspective, you're quick to help everybody, but you're not doing it in a wise way. Have you prayed about it? Are you actually being a help or a hindrance? Now, this is tough because, you know, I'm all about, you know, helping. But do you know how many times I say yes? And next you know, I'm just overwhelmed with all these, you know, because my inability to say no. And then I justify it by saying, well, I'm just doing the Christian thing. When you let your yes be yes and your no be no. Man, please. I don't see one scripture in the Bible where Jesus is rushing to go anywhere. At all. We justify busyness as if that defines importance. Let me make this perfectly clear. Doing something unimportant well doesn't make it more important. This, we put so much value on things that don't matter. It was Jesus who told Martha. Martha, who was mad at Mary for sitting at Jesus' feet. Martha was like, I'm busy. I'm trying to get stuff done. I'm running all this stuff. And look at my lazy sister sitting at Jesus' feet. And Jesus looks at Martha and goes, you're focused on the wrong thing. This is where you should be. First things first. Is this making sense? Yes. I want to challenge relationships in here. We allow our vital relationships to be at the mercy of trivial ones. Do you know right now you may have all the friends you really need? Why don't you just invest in those? Instead of being upset who left you out. Who didn't got, were they real friends in the first place? Some of us have the time to connect, but instead we spend more time surfing Facebook acquaintances. When Jesus is sitting here, I've given you life and life abundantly. But you can't see it because you're caught up in everything that does not matter. So how do we change this? Here's what I want you to understand. Don't look for room. Make room. You can put that up if it's not up there yet. Don't look for room. Make room. Make room. Make, stop asking. Permission to make room. And one of the ways you're going to make room is when there's no room, you need to make room. And the way you make more room is many times just saying no. We use this false, I use the same principle here. There's times when your no loses or your yes loses all value when you never use no. You don't just say yes to everything. This is why you got to be careful to just throw a principle or a scripture on top of a weakness to justify it. Somebody who's scared and won't stand up for themselves, they say, well, I just turned the other cheek. No, you didn't. You were scared.
That's right.
Don't try to use that on top of that. No, you was just scared. Okay? And the Bible says, first of all, he didn't give you a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. So you standing up for yourself in love, that's different. But just running away and then calling it turning the other cheek, what? Quit fooling yourself. Why do I say this? Because the devil is not even using sin to get us no more. He's just distracting us. He's just, that's all he's doing. He's just distracting. I'm going to use a cloud of distraction to mess with them. I'm not even going to have to use sin to do it. So how do we begin to make room? Let's look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Very simple. Now, you all may see when you've gone through this before that the only thing that really matters, and it seems like God does this a lot, it seems like what matters most is order. If you were to Google first things first, first fruits, any of those things, first fruits when it comes to scriptures, you'll get so many scriptures brought up that tells you how often the Word of God says, seek ye first, do this first, first fruits, do this. It seems like the order matters. Now follow this here. If you're overwhelmed, burned down, your calendar, your all this stuff, you're so busy, the answer isn't getting all that busyness reorganized. No. You're going to have to interrupt that, all of it, with one simple truth. Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God. And all is right. And then all these other things will be added later. Whatever it is on your agenda, whatever it is that you desire, whatever goals you have, whatever, all that stuff is great. Don't get rid of it. All I'm saying is, first things first, seek first the kingdom of God. Do you know if you get the first 10 to 15% right of anything, you've just raised the probability of success by 80%. But if you don't get the beginning right, it is a whole lot more work trying to fix it later.
That's right, Eric.
Now I'm going to use a football example. I'm going to use a wide receiver. And here's the rules. In man-to-man defense, here's all that matters. If I can win at the line of scrimmage, the probability of me winning down the field skyrockets.
Yes,
but if I lose at the line of scrimmage, if I don't win first, the consequences of me not winning first don't just impact me. They impact my quarterback. They impact everybody out there. Everything's thrown off. So you got to get the beginning right. Then the rest starts taking care of itself. For some of us, we're overwhelmed because we didn't get the beginning right. Now we're trying to fix it in the middle of it. No, you got to stop, restart. Seek first the kingdom of God. And then all those things that you're worried about will take care of themselves. I just giving you verse 33. If you read the previous verses, he was saying, don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to drink.
Right.
Don't worry about what you're going to wear. Don't worry about tomorrow. You don't have to worry about any of that stuff. Why? Because if you do this first, everything else takes care of itself.
Yeah.
Lord God, but my marriage, seek me first in the kingdom of God. But Lord, my health, seek me first in the kingdom of God. Lord, but my finances, seek me first in the kingdom of God. Lord, but what, seek me first. I did not stutter. Seek me first. He says the same thing, I promise you. If you read it today, you read it 10 years from now, you read it 20 years, it's going to say the same thing.
Yeah, that's good, Eric. Mm.
So what's significant, follow me, church. What's significant here is understanding there's two areas that matter so much. It's our time. It's our attention. What gets our attention first? The days of allowing trivial things. And what I call trivial is anything that isn't vital. Anything. Now, follow us here. One person said, but I got so much going on. I got so many important things. No, you may have. But the question is, what's imperative? What's imperative? Like, what has to be? I was guilty of this. I got stuck in Poland. Yes, I got stuck. I was on a business trip, got stuck in Poland. It was lonely in Poland. And while I was there, it was just, didn't see a whole lot of people I would be familiar with. But it was, it was a tough trip. So I missed my flight coming from Poland, which means I was stuck in Poland. And then finally, when I got out of Poland, I got to Heathrow Airport in the UK, and unfortunately missed my flight there. So I had to spend the night in the airport. Now, I've shared this story before. It was tough. Those chairs aren't made for somebody my size to sleep all night. And what was worse, there were some people there who planned for it. So they had these little hammocks, and they were snoring, literally. So I was literally going to push them out the hammock because I was mad. I knew that wouldn't have been godly. But I was sitting there envying them. Okay, but it's not even about, I missed that trip to Poland, next year I'm in Heathrow. But the deeper point was why I was there stuck in the first place. The reason I was there stuck, in my desire to have success, in my desire to chase what I felt I lost out on, playing football. So I found ways to justify this, but it was around the holidays. See, that's why Scott Crepane, that's why his music moved me so much, because it's what I was listening to there in the airport, right? But it kept reminding me, I should have been home with my family in the first place.
Oh, yeah.
When the opportunity to say yes or no to the trip in the first place, I said yes and then found a way to justify it to my wife. Like, we need this. No, it was I needed. I was chasing something because I had confused what matters most and what was trivial. And the consequences of that was severe. Because what I didn't realize at the time, and I'm learning now, is that, man, if you're not clear about what matters and what doesn't, you can blink and 20 years will go by. And you're wondering, what's wrong with my life? Here's the thing that people don't always get. Everything don't matter. But the few things that do matter, matter a whole lot. And do you know what those few things are? If you don't study that, if you don't dig into that, all of a sudden you have a life that won't give you a return. You'll pour attention into things that will not provide you a return you deserve. Never forget that moment. I get back and I'm having this conversation with my mentor. I'm going to be done here in a second, but this story is important. It is not just a story of a husband needing to figure things out or a father needing to figure things out. I want you to personalize this for your situation, but follow this here. I remember sitting down with my mentor and I told him about the story, what was going on. I was trying to justify my pursuits for everything as if I was doing it to, you know, really take my family to a different level. That's how I justified it. And he looked at me and he said, you need to understand something, Eric. I said, what's that? He goes, even if this was ministry, which you're involved in, even if it's this area, he says, keep something in mind, even when it comes to the church. Stop having an affair with Jesus' wife. He didn't call you to love his wife. He called you to love yours. He called you to support. Even if you tried to justify all your busyness and call it ministry, he says, what I've called you to do is keep what's vital, vital. Yeah. Right things. So my mentor looked right at me and he says, here's the thing. He goes, Jesus has a wife. It's called the church. You're to serve the church or you're to love the church and you can do all that, but you ain't supposed to love the church more than you love your wife. That's your wife. Jesus got his. So are you taking care of yours? I'll never forget that conversation. It changed everything. No, it wasn't my wife. Oh, no, I ain't going to go to work then. I ain't going to quit being corny. See, that's how men do sometimes. We get really corny. Like, okay, then I just won't go to work. Yeah, I have to say that because I promise you there was a man in here thinking, okay, I guess I'm just not going to go to work then. What I'm saying is, God's like, if you keep it in the right order, though, you will get all things added. So when it's in the right order, even those things you thought you were going to lose out on, wait till you see them come back. And now it's all a blessing, and there's no curse connected to it. This year for you is going to be a great year, but it's going to be because of what you eliminate. The accumulation God takes care of. What you do is go deal with the elimination part. Deal with the decrease part. Right now, as you go into this holiday season, follow what the scripture says. Be still and know that he is God.
Amen.
Drop the urgency. Quit running. Quit freaking out. He has it. Come watch him work. Can I hear amen, church? Tyler, I'm asking you to come up here. We're going to pray real quick here, church. I'm excited. I will tell you, share with the last service, saying no or decision making is tough. Deciding what I will do and deciding what I won't do, it seems like God doesn't take that away from us. I mean, he gives us guidelines, gives us principles, but we don't get to just sit back and be indecisive. Now, the word decide, I want you to understand what it means. The word decide is a kill word. Think about it. Pesticide. Homicide. Decide. And what I want you all to do today is I want you to kill something. Follow me, church, please. I want you to decide. You remember when Joshua said, I don't know about the rest of y'all, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. The word decide simply means, in order for my choice to live, options must die. Anytime you're overwhelmed, it's because you haven't killed off any options. And instead of giving great effort into a few things, you're trying to give average effort into everything. And it doesn't work. God didn't call you to do everything. You're only called to do a few things, but know what those few things are and do them with everything in you. And watch what God does with the rest. Can that resonate? All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you for this truth. It's a practical message, but the word of God is sharp. And Lord, we thank you for cutting into us today. We thank you for putting the mirror right in front of our face and requiring us not to walk out of here the same way we came in. We cannot today pretend we did not hear this, okay? We don't get to pretend that. We now know that you have equipped us to make the decisions that allow us to live the abundant life you provided for us on the cross. Father, we love you so much. We thank you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Let the whole church say, amen, amen, amen.